WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got 2 words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Fallout from Elimination Chamber is here. This is the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use Credit Card, Rocket Sock, or Lindsay Morden, the Fortnite Shop, or Epic Game Store, Chris Hashtag, Epic Partner. I am the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
We had an interesting and exciting Fallout 2 Elimination Chamber. Oh boy, we're on the road to WrestleMania now.
We sure are on that road to WrestleMania. And the road for some is kind of cloudy. And for some others, it's wide open. So Monday Night Raw opened up with The Vision, or what's left of The Vision. Paul Heyman, Austin Theory, Logan Paul. The fans start singing Rollins' song. Heyman hates it. He accused Rollins of stealing the Elimination Chamber from Logan Paul. Heyman calls Seth Rollins Mr. Lynch, and they would stomp his ass the next time he's in a WWE ring. He said that wasn't a prediction or a spoiler. It's just a personal guarantee from The Vision. Theory says, here's my theory. Let's see all of you, all you idiots can follow me. I have history with Rollins. Fans said, you suck. Logan Paul then just grabbed the mic and said, I took out three people in the Elimination Chamber, and that puts me in the same line of with Brock Lesnar. That's who I hang with. And they're basically hijacking the show because they're mad. Adam Pearce comes out, brings security. He accuses them of attacking Jey Uso on SmackDown. Heyman said, we had nothing to do with what happened to Jey, but would plead guilty in advance if for what they were going to do to Seth Rollins. A masked man showed up, gets run off. Another one shows up, gets run off. Another one shows up, gets run off. So leaves Heyman in the ring, all alone. Another one shows up, this one with a chair. And the steel chair shot from Seth Rollins to the back of Paul Heyman. As he was that masked man, giving him the old shield chair shot to the back. And then a curb stomp for his troubles. But then, Paul Heyman was in an ambulance with a bloody nose. Austin Theory, they wanted to get the car. Theory closed the door and thought that Logan had returned. But no, it was Jimmy Uso in the car and beat him up. LA Knight, yeah, was driving the ambulance and drove it away. Yeah. And that was the open to Raw.
This was a really strong opening for Raw. Like the whole setup with Rollins coming out and kind of paying off what happened on Saturday. And then, you know, Heyman taking the curb stomp, and, you know, you cut back to him with a bloody nose, a profusely bloody nose, I might add, all the way down to, you know, Jimmy showing up and LA Knight stealing the ambulance and like everything else. Like, this was great. It's like they've had enough of The Vision, or I guess, is it still The Vision, or do we call it the bifocal at this point?
Yeah, it's still not much left of it, but there's still The Vision. But yeah, this was a good start. Very hot. kind of sets up the Vision's maybe direction of WrestleMania. Run it back with Logan and Seth. So we'll see how that one unfolds. It was Gunther and Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee jumped Gunther to start. Had a pretty good match. Gunther beat on Dragon Lee for a while, thought he had the win, then was going to do some more beatings on the outside. Got cocky. Dragon Lee made a comeback. But Gunther recovered, put him in the sleeper, ripped off the mask. Dragon Lee tapped out. I liked it.
It was good.
Yeah. Got some heat on Gunther. Did what it was supposed to do. Pretty solid.
I mean, I don't have any complaints about it.
Backstage, Asuka was yelling at Kairi Sane, who was a little emotional what happened. AJ Lee showed up and asked if Kairi was good, and she didn't respond, and they said, blink twice if you need help. She couldn't blink twice because Asuka called for her. But the
Go ahead. Go ahead. No. I was going to say, they're doing a good job of like playing that up.
They
are. Even though it's very wrong.
It is.
Kairi's doing an amazing job with it.
The Intercontinental Champion, AJ Lee, came out. Cole said Becky Lynch blamed Jessica Carr for what happened and wants the match to be thrown out. Fans chant, you deserve it. AJ said Becky Lynch is the best of the best and she beat her even though she gave her the fight of her life. Lee said she showed that she could still be championship material. But now Becky's behind her. And WrestleMania's ahead of her. But she wasn't waiting until then. She said she would be a fighting champion. And it's been 12 years since she held a title and she wasn't going to take it for granted or waste her time. She mentioned, well, I've wanted to get a hand on a couple women in the locker room and then if they want to get a shot at the title, well, you know what to do. She told the women's locker room to come at her if they think they are championship material or wanted to face their favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. And the next time you're in this ring, I'm in this ring, I will be defending this championship. So ladies, show me what you've got. Pretty good.
Very good promo. Very solid. No complaints.
There was a segment about with Lyra and Becky, and Bayley discussing, you know, the situation. You know, Lyra's encouraging Bayley to go for the Intercontinental title, and she will. There's a gauntlet match next week featuring Raquel, who was also encouraged to go fight for the Intercontinental title, Raquel and Lyra and Bayley, and I believe Asuka, and there's a couple others in there as well that will be fighting in a gauntlet next week on Raw to determine the new number one contender. Not in that gauntlet is Becky Lynch. Which means the title offense is happening on Raw before WrestleMania. Very smart.
Yep.
Very smart. It was the original El Grande Americano taking on Rio. El Grande with the win.
This was just shenanigans. This was just, like, the match was fine, but this was just, like, pure, unadulterated shenanigans with the four of them.
Yeah. There was a video package with Liv Morgan talking about how she was sure that Stephanie Vaquer had some questions after last week and how she embarrassed her and everything, knew everything about her. Morgan said Vaquer didn't know where she came from. Morgan, she was very, like, talking down about condescending as she apologized for WWE signing her at 20 while you got rejected the first time. Morgan said she will give Vaquer the privilege of stepping in the ring with her. And then you'll learn everything you need to know about me. Very solid.
Good promo. Yeah. Very solid. Didn't really push anything, which is fine. Like, they're doing the slow burn on the match. And Liv is playing up the heel. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Liv and Raquel were backstage in the clubhouse. And this is where Liv suggested Raquel challenge AJ for the title. Dominic told JD that he wanted his crew ringside during his title match. Finn said he wasn't happy with the result of the world title match, but he's at peace with how it went down. Dom said, now that Baylor's over his loss to Punk, let's focus on my match and them to be at ringside. JD's like, I'll be there. Baylor recalled telling Dom that you had to do this on your own. I just wanted you to come celebrate with me. That's all.
Right.
That's all it was. That's all it was. They're recapping stuff from celebrate. They're recapping stuff with Oba Femi being the Miz, and then Rusev stormed out and said, enough of this. I'm tired of hearing about Oba. He knew Oba was backstage and could hear him, and they both want the fight. And let's fight now.
Okay.
He said Oba could ask his daddy how to appear if it was okay. Oba didn't ask anyone. He came right to the ring. Oba goes, you spend all this time talking. Why don't you come in here and make something happen? They jaw-jacked at one another, and then they started to fight. Oba eventually clotheslined Rusev out of the ring. Rusev yelled. This is good.
This is good. I think my only complaint with this, and this, it's not really a complaint, but it's more when somebody's talking smack, and they have the wrestler do the full entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It, to me, it's, and I understand it is part of the shtick, but like Oba doing the walk as he's like coming at Rusev. It's like, no, man, if you're pissed off, just walk out there. You know, he just like storms out like he's so mad he can't even do his walk. And that's not a reflection on Oba. It's more just like a call in terms of like the storytelling of how pissed off somebody is. Right.
I mean, the best example is Jeff Hardy doing the Jeff Hardy thing and then coming to the ring.
Yeah.
On those occasions. But. Yeah. At least Oba's walk is intimidating.
At least it's intimidating, so it works. But to me, it's like somebody's calling you out and talking smack. Just go out there and smack them. Like, don't do your full entrance. And like I said, this is not a call on Oba. This is more like production, storytelling, that it's just have them walk out there. Like, if you're going to sell this illusion, sell it that, you know, Rusev is so pissed off he doesn't want to talk about anything anymore, so he challenges Oba Femi, and Oba Femi comes out and he's like, okay, all right, bet. And he storms out there and they fight, right? Like, that's the reality you're trying to tell. It just, to me, it comes across as very silly whenever they do that, and I don't like it when they do that. But the promo was great. The promo was fine. Like, it will be a good pairing, and it's just two big beefy men slapping meat, so that's never a problem. But yeah, like, that's my only like critique of that little segment right there.
Awesome there, Jimmy Uso. Quick little match. Jimmy Uso wins by disqualification when Logan Paul interfered. You heard Jay's music play. He comes out at ringside, gives the crutch to Jimmy to run off both Theory and Paul. So it'll be interesting to see what they're doing. Are they building to a tag team title match before WrestleMania? Or is Seth doing other... So, thinking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Austin Theory and Logan Paul have been messing with the Usos. They're in a grudge there, right? Yeah. Rollins came back, attacked Logan Paul. But he also attacked Paul Heyman tonight. Are we getting Logan and Seth? Are we getting the Usos versus Theory and Logan? And then get Brock and Rollins? Because Rollins comes out to answer the open challenge against Brock because Brock is pissed about Heyman? I'm not sure. Or do we do... Usos and Theory and Logan before Mania? But then there's the whole LA Knight interaction too. So is it LA Knight and Brock? Not sure.
I don't think I want to see Seth and Brock for a variety of reasons. The main one being that Seth is fragile.
Yeah, I don't want to see it, but like there are many roads where that could be a direction. I think it's still Logan and Rollins, unless Braun. Again, then there's the whole, is Braun Breaker healthy? Will Braun Breaker show up on this road to WrestleMania? It's not Logan and Seth. Then Austin Theory face the Usos at WrestleMania because the Usos got to be on that show. So, because if they're not on the show, it's like, huh. What's the whole point of this direction they're going? So it's like, there are many things they're probably figuring out.
There's many things that they're probably figuring out. I think, honestly, if you want to continue the story of the Vision and you want to put a marquee match on the show, Logan and Seth is probably your best bet on that. Because those two will just go around and do exactly what they do, and they'll clip farm, essentially. You have the built-in story already, right? That basically Seth Rollins got replaced with Logan Paul in the Vision. And that's what happened. And whether that was Logan Paul's doing, whether that was Paul Heyman's machinations, which is probably what they're going to tell, that works. And it's a very easy, quick story to put together. And then if, for whatever reason, like you want to bring Braun Breaker back at WrestleMania, and you have him like surprise everybody and come back and he takes out Seth, giving Logan the win, you could do that. Because like at this stage, it's going to be tight on Braun, depending on the surgery that he had to have. I'm not saying it's impossible because we've seen people come back and do it before, but I wouldn't push Braun to come back right now just because hernia surgery is no joke and you do not want to mess with that. So like, get yourself healthy, get yourself well. And if they could bring him out at Mania and he does one spot, great. You know, if he doesn't do anything, great. but like I'm not counting on Bron Breakker being there just because of what he had to have done in theory. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I don't trust any injury angle at this point. But like the money match for Mania is Seth and Logan, to me. And that's how you keep the vision going. That's how you keep the story going. And then you could have Logan and Theory feud with Seth. And then Seth could have varying backups, right? Because as Logan, because I don't know how committed Logan is after WrestleMania, right? I don't know how long he's going to be around for. So after Seth moves on from Logan Paul, you could have him work with Austin Theory. Or by then, Bron Breakker may be back. And then you have Seth and Bron, and you do that feud. And you keep that going. But we have to see.
Real Ripley and Io Sky come out. Interview by Jackie Redmond. Asked how Rhea feels about challenging Jade. She has a whirlwind of emotions over the past few days after they lost the belts. She said it sucked because Sky has been her opponent, best friend, and partner. They hugged. And she thanked her for pulling her out of a very dark situation. You did the same for me, said Io. Io said she'll be okay, and then happily spoke about Rhea winning the title at WrestleMania. She'll do it for Rhea, said she'll do it for Io, and told her to hold down Raw for her, and it should be going face to face with the champ this Friday on SmackDown.
It's a good little segment, good little promo.
And there will be Lyra, Bayley, Io, Raquel, Asuka, and Ivy Nile in the gauntlet for the shot at the Intercontinental Championship next week. Backstage, Adam Pearce was on the phone talking to the gauntlet, said it. They thought someone had been here by now. Pierce turned around and it was Danhausen. He boasted about how the reaction he got at Elimination Chamber. And then he has a lust of the man's written on toilet paper. He wanted a blimp, a Hall of Fame induction this year, a personal assistant, a personal camera boy, a Triple H pointing photo, and his face on all the trucks. Pierce asked why it was soggy. It fell in the toilet. The Judgment Day men roll up. Adam Pierce introduced them to Danhausen. Danhausen said hello to Finn and Dom, but didn't know who JD was. But he already hated him. Danhausen admired Dom's title belts and said this one is close. Dom said this is close. You're gonna get to a title. Dom told Danhausen leave before something bad happens. Danhausen goes, "Bad happens to me? You are cursed." And they laughed it off. This was a good use of Danhausen.
I think this was a better introduction to Danhausen than what happened on Saturday, and we will get into that on Thursday. I think this kind of gave everybody a little bit more of a taste of who he is as a performer and as a talent and really what he's there to do. Because obviously if you are familiar with Danhausen, you know what he is and you know what he does, and it's mainly a comedy shtick. But for a lot of people, they may not be familiar with Danhausen. And so, you know, it's very apparent that like some people were very confused coming out of Saturday. And so this is a nice way to like work him in, integrate him in. You know, he can kind of just be that thorn in everybody's side for a while until you find him a feud. And just sort of be that comedy relief character that you need.
Yeah, it worked. Penta versus Dom, Intercontinental title. Pretty good match.
This was fun.
Towards the end, Dom asks them to get them the hammer. JD reluctantly gets up to get the hammer. Finn stops him from using it or giving it to him. They argued. Penta took them out. Dom took advantage, went for the 619, missed. Penta hit the Mexican Destroyer, and is your new Intercontinental Champion.
So the eternal Intercontinental Champion has been unseated.
He was cursed.
He was cursed.
The deal was the curse never worked, but the curse worked. So here we are.
Maybe just, you know, Danhausen just needed to find the right, you know, like, place with the right vibe, the right energy. Because, I mean, they do have a lot of spooky characters in WWE that, you know, produce that kind of mojo. So maybe it enhanced his abilities a little bit.
It may have. The main event of the show, Roman Reigns, came out. He had the fans acknowledge him. CM Punk cut it off. CM Punk comes to the ring. He asks, "Why are you mean mugging me?" "I'm just here. I'm acknowledging you, Roman." And, you know, he said, what are you gonna, if you, that's all you gotta say, we could have covered that in a tweet. It wasn't worth wasting one of his big money dates on that. Roman asked Phil if his tweet hurt his feelings. He said he doesn't bother by what people tweet about him or say about him during a podcast. Punk said Roman's tweet wasn't far off because he is tired. "Look at the bags. I got bags under my eyes because it's a good thing he has them, though. He has to carry Roman's bullshit to WrestleMania." And mentions they have history here in Indianapolis. That's where the Shield debuted. Punk, that's where I brought you guys here, brought you all here. And Roman's like, you brought the other two, not me. I may have not picked you, Roman, but you certainly picked me. And now we're headlining WrestleMania, heading to WrestleMania as the main event. But I've already won and recalled, you know, because you said you hate me. I'm in your head, as empty as it is. Reigns, Punk is right. I do hate you. But you wouldn't be on my radar if you didn't have the title. Phil, let me remind you real quick. We brought you back to entertain the 30 or 40-year-old virgins who live with their mom and dad in the basement. We brought you back to sell a few t-shirts here and there. Brought you maybe back to maybe draw a house in Chicago. But we didn't bring you back to be champion. That's too much responsibility for you. That's too much power. That's above your pay grade. You can post the Instagram photos making it seem like you're having a good time and as locker room leader, but you can lie in interviews and tweet that he's hanging out with my cousins, but truth is, you're just bitching backstage, and they can't wait to tell him whenever he comes around. Reigns said Punk is nothing more than a punk-ass bitch to him. He would send Punk, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to send you back on one of those John Cena retirement tours after WrestleMania. They make the max you out, make as much money as they could off him. Then we're going to send you to NXT to show the next generation how to do what they do, and you can teach them so that the tribal chief can be here and we'll smash each and every single one of them. And then Roman started to walk away, and Punk stops him. And if he asks, you just thought you could just walk away? And who's we? You're all alone. You're alone on the bus, in your room. Your cousins are no longer with you, and there's no more Shield to protect you. I'm the champ. This is my show. This is Netflix. He said, Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble. This is your show, and I run things. Punk said he is in the locker room hanging out with Roman's cousins when Reigns is all alone, and you can't get things done when you're by yourself, can you? Punk said, you can hate him all he wants, but you won't disrespect me. You know, you're claiming that you're going to retire me? Well, you just made the list. He said Reigns went from getting beaten at WrestleMania to from me just beating you at WrestleMania to being buried. And then you won't be alone anymore because I'm going to bury you next to your father. That was a finish.
That's a line.
They got personal.
I mean, here's the thing about this match. You didn't need to put this level of heat on this, right? Like, it's Roman versus Punk for the title. Like, we're all fine with that. You know, you don't really have to give us a story. They're gonna. But, like, you didn't have to because, you know, it's perfectly logical that both of them are there. You know, the match essentially sells itself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it does. Because they did bring up the past history of Punk bringing in the Shield, and they talked about all of that. And kind of, you know, what happened after Punk left. Like, they raised all the history, which was good. And we all knew that was there. Or I shouldn't say all of us. A majority of us knew that was there if we were around when Punk was here last. So we know that relationship. But when it got personal, it was like, oh, damn. Okay, we're going there. All right. This early? Okay. I'll take that. Like, we're not going to be nice about this. We're going to be bitter about this. I can go with this.
Maximizing the opportunity that they have with Roman and Punk. Because you have to, like, you don't have to, but this is the one shot you got. So you got to fire all the guns, and they're
going to
do it.
If they're going to do it, I appreciate that they are going to full send it. At least I hope they're going to full send it. Like, that would be my one request of the storytelling for this, is if you're going to go and they're only going to fight one time, like, if this is it, if this is the only time these two are ever going to face, especially for a title, at WrestleMania, all the stars have aligned, go full send. Don't hold anything back in this. You have a shit ton of runway before WrestleMania. Go all out. Do all the things in this that you're going to do and give us the story.
And I think they will with the opportunities they can. When Roman is there, they're going to go full on opportunity and blow it out of the water. And that's what they can do. I like it.
And that's great. Like, here's the thing. Roman doesn't have to be there every week to tell the story. And in fact, it's better that he's not there every week. That he's limited in his appearances. Now, I'm not saying he gets to show up like once a month, but, you know, it's especially as we get the push for Mania, he should be there like the last, I'm going to say, 3 weeks before Mania. But Mania's not till like, what, mid-April?
April 18th and 19th, yeah.
So he's got 6 weeks So realistically, he could F around for like half of that and then be fine.
So Roman
show up sparingly.
So Roman's here on the 16th, the 23rd, the 30th, and then the 13th of April.
Okay. I'm down with that.
So that's pretty good. Brock's going to be there for majority of those episodes too, so that's star power too. Yeah, that's pretty good.
This is the time when you need to start bringing out your stars, and you need to start really, really, really cranking out the stories and setting up the show and finalizing the matches and doing all of that, right? Like, now is the moment. You have 6 weeks, give or take, to lay in all your groundwork, so do it.
Yeah, it's Texas, San Antonio, Boston, New York. Yeah, they'll be at the big ones. Yeah. That, though, was Monday Night Raw.
This is a really good show.
It was a hot show, hot crowd. Indy was very loud. Helped the show a lot. They did some things, set some directions. Road is getting clearer for some, as we talked about on the road to WrestleMania. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, Lindsay gets to talk about the Elimination Chamber.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have opinions on the Elimination Chamber and the decisions that were made, because there's opinions. But it's The Rat, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of Super Radio. Check out last Saturday's episode featuring the Lone Jabber for his birthday celebration. Check that out. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back next Monday night when Raw ends to talk all about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio, or chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use code to go to Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy Honkai Star Rail or Epic Games Store. Why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
The new for the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rock and Rock back here every Monday night on the road to WrestleMania.
WildTalkRadio.com.